This is CLWA 3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The NAWC. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Ladies and gentlemen, R-Truth.
Oh, look at little Jimmy. Look at little Jimmy. He's so cute. He's singing, "What's Up with the Truth." Sing it, little Jimmy. Sing it.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, little Jimmy, am I making you smile by singing "What's Up"? Shut up! Am I making you smile? Yeah, you like singing "What's Up," little Jimmy? Okay, little Jimmy, you singing "What's Up," is that putting any titles around my waist? I didn't think so, little Jimmy. So you can wipe your nose and shut up!
Unfortunately, we were unable to get little Jimmy to show up for tonight's show. But that doesn't mean we're not going to get anything done tonight. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, and my name is Nikki Heyman. So tonight I've got a few of the usual suspects in here. First, a beleaguered friend of mine from Toledo, Mr. Josh Henniger.
Why, thank you, Nikki. I'm running on fumes, everyone. Woo!
And somebody strikingly northeast is here, Mr. VRM.
You're running on fumes. I just downed 2 24-ounce Pepsis. I'm going to be wired for the next 5 hours.
Trust me, I'm keeping up with Dr. Pepper right now.
And I am surprisingly uncaffeinated. Now, who is the man on the end, on the other end of line three there?
A man who is grateful for the 11th hour heroics of Mr. Henniger.
Why, thank you.
Mr. Fourth, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
All right. We do have quite a bit to talk about. We had a draft that was a lot more entertaining than the NFL draft. I'm sorry, BRM.
I didn't watch it anyway. We had good news for 24 hours. The blackout was over. And then in the middle of the draft, they announced that they got to stay. Fuck.
Ooh, so does that mean ESPN's got a bunch of airtime that they have nothing better to do with?
No, they actually kept the draft going because it would be basically, according to Berman, players could now go, "Hi, I'm here." Owners could go, "Nice to meet you. Okay, get out." And that's it.
My draft did not have...
That's
nonsense. Sorry,
Forrest? I'm not the same old man.
So, since the WWE draft did not have to deal with such things, and I don't think lockouts are possible in UFC, so before I dive into this draft, VRM, you have been jumping up and down about this weekend's UFC event. Why don't you go ahead and fill us in?
All right, so... We all knew UFC 100 was big. Garnered over 1 million buys. I think the last count I've seen was 1.6. And it was a huge financial success for UFC and Zuffa. Now they're one-upping themselves with what's coming up tomorrow night, UFC 129. First of all, great main event scheduled. George Rush St. Pierre versus Jake Shields, two guys on monstrous winning streaks. Going for the UFC welterweight title. It's also now been announced that it's going to be Randy Couture's swan song event. This is going to be his last fight. He's retiring again when he fights Lyoto Machida. But all the actual fighting aside, the actual event itself is going to be huge. All right, first of all, normally they go into a little arena, like the Bell Center. Of course, they're not really little. Bell Center, Prudential Center, Grand Garden, and they get about 20,000. They're going to Skydome. I'm sorry. The Rogers Center. They're going to the Rogers Center and getting. They originally booked for 42,000 within the pre-sale day. On pre-sale day, tickets sold so fast, they scrambled to put another 13,000 seats in. So 55,000. There is now report. There is reportedly a gate of at least $11 million. For comparison, WrestleMania 18, which brought in, I forget what the official number is, 67,000 something.
Mm-hmm.
That only drew a gate of 3.8 million. And compare even more, WrestleMania 27 only got a gate of 6.6.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but for the record, yeah, as a joke. Fourth?
Nothing.
Okay. And what I was going to say was, just put it on that real quick, WrestleMania 27 did score 1 million buys worldwide. The record, Jason Block owes me $50.
How many pro...
And for the record, Jason Block owes Robert T. Titleman $25.
You win!
And maybe we'll have to make him donate further to the causes of the North American Wrestling.
Oh, hell no!
And that. All right, let me peek in real quick here. Hello?
Are you trying to pick someone up on line 4, or should I keep going?
Let me just check real quick. I'm having trouble.
I'm hearing humming in the background. That's about the extent of it.
Hello?
Okay, is that Andy? Try again. Andy?
Yeah, hello?
Oh,
there you are.
Can you hear me?
Am I coming through?
You're muffled, but we can hear you.
Yeah.
All right, how about that?
Better.
Hang on. I'm calling in on Skype, so it's being a little bit messy right now, so let me see if I can figure this stuff out.
You're not the only one calling in on Skype.
You go ahead and work on that. Finish up what you were saying about the comparisons with UFC and Mania.
All right. Well, I was done with the UFC Mania comparisons, but now onto the other big news for this card in terms of the actual airing. First of all, they're moving the actual main card air time up an hour to 9 p.m., so they're moving more into prime time. And now, also, in addition to the two preliminary fights that are going to be live on Spike, the remaining five preliminary card fights are going to be live on a Facebook stream.
Yep. This is definitely not the first time for that. I know they've done it several times before.
Yeah, but that was only been for, like, one or two. This is all of the remaining Facebook fights.
Oh,
all the remaining fights
okay.
are on Facebook. So you got
except
five
for the
on
ones
Facebook.
On Spike and on Facebook.
On the actual card. So you got five on Facebook, two on Spike, and then five on the actual pay-per-view.
Wow.
Two of which are the ones on pay-per-view are actual championship fights. So this is going to be a monumental night for UFC. It won't surprise me if they score another million buys here. The question I'm just curious is how much their entire revenue for this fight is going to be. Because if they're already seeing $11 million gate revenue at minimum, I can only imagine what the final revenue will be once they count up the all the buy rates and
Could it even try to touch the all-time record for pay-per-views or pay-per-view gates in total? I'm not sure.
Well, all-time record for pay-per-view gate would be Mayweather, that one Mayweather fight, right?
I'm not entirely certain. I'll go check.
Okay, hey, am I coming in better?
You're still a little muffled, and it sounds like you're fighting your microphone.
Yeah.
Well, it's a in-laptop microphone, so they don't have another mic, so I'm just trying to make it work.
Okay.
Which is weird, because it was working just fine earlier when I was using Skype, so...
We'll get you into the swing of this, for sure. Let's see, what do I want to do from here? Josh, are you looking that up?
What?
Are you still looking that up?
I can't hear you over the tapping I'm hearing in the background and the general hum.
Tapping may be me from my keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay. It's coming in. That's coming in loud and proud, Andy.
Okay, are we good now?
I think we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, we're getting better.
Is that better, Josh?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and say what you did before.
What?
Nikki?
Okay. Yeah. I was just asking you in another minute to look up this pay-per-view gate record.
Oh, the pay-per-view gate record? I don't know. The pay-per-view buy record is indeed Mayweather versus De La Hoya, which is 2.4 mil.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty sure he has 1 cent.
All right. Elvira, it's up to you. Would you like to stick around for a little bit?
Who?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Let me grab my next handful of paperwork here. While the NFL is trying to figure out if they actually want to have a season, the WWE is not so handcuffed. When the dust settled from the supplemental draft on Tuesday, we had a total trade of 17 individuals to SmackDown and 12 people being sent back to Raw. I'm not counting the John Cena trade. It canceled the
Yeah, as you should.
Would you be surprised to note that nobody from Punk's core would show?
I honestly don't think that's, like, I feel like if they're going to keep trying to go with the core and Nexus, they wouldn't have switched them off to a different show.
Given the way they've been booked, and I'll throw this at you, Josh. The way Punk's core have been booked lately, it almost looked like I thought that they were going to move a couple of guys around.
I'm still not picking up everything you're saying, sadly.
Okay, give me a second here. I'm going to say something. Okay, how am I sounding now?
You're sounding better.
Coming
okay,
clear.
Yep.
Something with this particular earpiece. So now I've got the phone actually attached to the head here. Given the recent booking of Punxsutawney and the core, it almost looks like they were thinking about moving some people around, Josh.
Yeah, they were. I wouldn't have been surprised if, for instance, the former tag champs in Gabriel and Slater would have moved off to Raw, while Punxsutawney got two people shipped over to SmackDown. More or less keeping it somewhat the same dynamic, but just different piles. Essentially, same ship, different piles.
Okay.
Well, not exactly, because
yeah,
I actually like Justin Gabriel. He kind of reminds me of London and Kendrick in a way. And
yeah,
to be honest, my favorite WWE wrestlers of all time are Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I still to this day, whenever I play one of the SmackDown vs. Raw games, I do a create a character. I'm always using their entrances. Running and flipping off the turnbuckle. I always use that to this day.
Yeah, my hell, I kind of based the gimmick quite a bit around that.
So, but I can see what you mean with Gabriel being kind of like that.
Yeah.
But I honestly. Go ahead. I was going to say, I don't see Core having been, like, I don't think they would have been split up, but I definitely thought that at least one or two members of Nexus would have been drafted in the supplemental draft, but
what this tells me, I feel like what it's telling me is because they weren't drafted, they're still trying to go somewhere with either Nexus or Core. And frankly, I feel like both are failing. Nexus is in the same sense half of them left to go to SmackDown. And I don't feel like the Core really ever took off very well. I mean, they put the Intercontinental title on Barrett. They put the tag titles on Slater and Gabriel. But, I mean, it doesn't feel like the tag division has not been what it had been since, you know, for years and years and years. So putting the tag titles on those two, I don't feel like it did much difference. Putting the IC title on Barrett, I mean, it kind of made sense to try to show some dominance, but it almost seems like the Intercontinental title had been going from, Kofi to Drew or whatever, so, I mean, it didn't seem like it moved around a lot. So it's just another one of those where, let's just put it on him, see if we can do something with it, and it kind of feels like it went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed, you know, I don't remember what I said for the draft last week, and I should listen to more of my shows. Given the way things were falling apart with the Core, I honestly thought they were going to move Ezekiel Jackson because he seemed to be the odd man out in the group. He didn't have a belt. You know, he was pretty much a presence, but really he hadn't done, you know, he'd done things here and there, but I just, you know, he still seemed like an odd man out with Core, so we would get something in a trade. Maybe we send Zeke to Zeke Raw, and somehow David Otunga gets picked up in the supplemental draft and gets thrust into the Core, and we go ahead and reignite that Barrett-Otunga tension.
Yeah, that would be something I would have liked to see. You know, I think a lot of us are thinking, okay, we're going to see a Core versus Nexus match in a pay-per-view at some point in time, and it just, I mean, I like that tension, but, I mean, because they're both heel factions, and neither one is taking off very well anymore, I mean, my thought is that they're just going to kind of, you know, crumble them apart, however, from the inside or from outside forces. But that would be, honestly, I feel like that would be the best option for both. Maybe more for the Core than the true, than, you know, the new Nexus or whatever. But I think I think that having the Core taken apart and just letting them all do their single stuff, or keep the belt on Slater and Gabriel or whatever. But for the most part, just take them apart because it doesn't seem like they're doing anything anymore.
Well, they're probably got the factions treading water, but I noticed a pattern with some of the drafts. Especially during the supplemental draft, they went ahead and shifted the Usos and Tamina in three separate picks to SmackDown, so we still got a tag team put together.
Yep.
Kurt Hawkins got traded to Raw. He's got a buddy over there.
But I haven't seen Zack Ryder on Raw. I've barely even seen him on Superstars, but I don't watch it. But either way, it's like, you know, if Kurt, you know, Ryder, or, yeah, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, that could work as a tag team if they ever get the airtime. I think there's talent in both, but Raw's, you know, I think the WWE and Vinnie Mac especially, I think their focus is so much on the names that they already have that it doesn't seem like they want to try to build up names like the Usos or Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder or, as I'm looking, Chris Masters even. It just seems like they're kind of all, you know, they're kind of all just, they're all treading water.
Well, and that hopefully with the bouncing on, with a few people moving around, that's going to help. So, oh yeah, Josh, this one's for you. I've got something for you regarding SmackDown.
Okay.
Baby oil!
Considering all of Legacy is back on SmackDown.
Exactly.
They cut the legs out from under me. I was going to ask what one product's budget tripled on SmackDown now. Damn it.
Well, the good news is that the catering budget won't be adjusted because they sent Big Show to Raw and bought Mark Henry to SmackDown. So that'll keep things balanced in that department.
Yep, and now instead of a giant Kool-Aid man, we've got ourselves, what, a giant Oreo package?
Yeah, something like that.
So, what else have I got on my handy-dandy notes here? This is probably the first draft since, I believe, 2008 that SmackDown kind of got ahead, just the fact that they got a bunch of extra picks. Yes, they lost Del Rio and Big Show, who's a contributor, and Mysterio, who was their other top face. But they filled in those blanks nicely by bringing in Randy Orton, turning Mark Henry. Let's see, having Sheamus over there, and what was the other one I was looking for? Regardless, they still made out like bandits.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because I remember the last several drafts, more or less, we need kids. Oh God, that was just. It was more or less the raping of ECW back in 08.
So they didn't have an ECW to clean out, and they weren't going to move any of the NXT guys that way.
Yeah.
This one came across a little bit more honest. Now, they decided to go ahead and keep Swagger on Raw. To be honest, if that's the case, then I would like to see it that Michael Cole would have been locked on Raw, but
people are fools.
I would have liked to see him locked into a prison cell and then dropped into the bottom of the ocean.
Well, I would have liked to see him locked into room 101. Oh wait, he's already in there.
Yeah.
Yes, we've already put him in there. And if let me see if I can find it. Where is my button for that? That better still be
the lever.
Here. I'm looking for the lever. There it is. And just to make sure, Michael Cole is where he belongs.
The roasty, toasty flames of eternal damnation.
Okay, that needs to be saved as a little clip. After that explosion, the roasty, toasty flames of eternal damnation. We need to save that and just kind of use it every so often. Just say, okay, something went wrong, and then we go, boom, flames of eternal damnation.
That's beautiful. So hopefully I didn't ruin the sound clip by laughing. What else have we got here? Talked about that. Ah, yes. Alberto Del Rio to Raw. Now, he had quite a niche on SmackDown. Now, I'll throw this out here. Fourth, you haven't had much talk time. Does Del Rio get to bring Rodriguez with him?
I would assume so, because usually don't they bring, like, the people they hired for personal services or a manager even, or...
What I've heard is that he's not, like, a true talent, quote-unquote. Like, you know, not a, you know, superstar. He's a personal announcer. He's an announcer. So he kind of goes where Del Rio goes. Whereas, like, Brodus Clay is staying on SmackDown because he wasn't, like, with Del Rio. Del Rio didn't hire him. He was just his NXT pro. So Brodus Clay is staying on SmackDown.
Sir, what about me?
I don't know. What about you?
King Hippo's going to be stuck on SmackDown. That's his own downfall.
But yeah. I think that
downfalls, is Alex Riley set for a downfall of the Endeavors variety after that RK Barrio from tonight?
God.
He's been getting buried since he appeared on Raw. I mean, you know, I love The Miz, and I love, you know, how much the fans hate him and how he just draws that in and uses it. But, I mean, even Alex Riley was getting that kind of treatment from The Miz where, you know, it seemed like The Miz didn't really want him around. He was just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Riley is being buried and has been buried for a while now. You know, I really honestly think that he might not even have a chance to get out, you know. As the loose cannon in the chat says, he might just be future endeavored here soon. Because it doesn't seem like he's doing much more than getting buried week after week.
Right. Now, VRN, do you see anybody on the future endeavors list because of the draft?
I have to pull up the entire draft list, but like I said, A-Rod crossed my mind as being a possibility after that massive RKO. I don't think Drew has to worry about anything, even though he also got a RK Barrio as a going away present.
Mm-hmm.
The tag team groups, Curt Hawkins, Zack Ryder, the Usos, I think they might be on burial watch. I mean, Endeavor watch, I should say.
Future endeavoring any kind of tag team, even semi-formation, would be very bad for the WWE if they want to keep the tag team division, like, in general. And if they're looking to get rid of the titles and everything, then, you know, it's whatever. But if they don't want to keep those tag team titles in the division, I mean, if they want to keep them, they want to rebuild or whatever, why Future Endeavor, people who have worked together in the past, that can work together in the future?
Well, at this point, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, I had the chat, the WWE.com chat up during some parts of the supplemental draft, and they actually posted a poll about the tag team division.
Oh, yes, now, I remember this.
Yeah, they posted, and there was an overwhelming call for a tag team division to be developed. So that's why I'm really paying attention to things like the Curt Hawkins trade back to Raw. That would get, you know, maybe that'll get both of them back on TV. The Usos have been thrown over to SmackDown. Maybe, you know, this way they can, you know, they can at least do something with them. Now, they broke up the Hart Dynasty is still completely broken up. That's not going to work. There was a couple of this. There was something else. Let's see, with Legacy, Hawkins and Ryder, we have a chance to build some other teams with people moving around. Oh, boogity, boogity, boogity. Besides, with some of the minor trades, like Tyler Rex, JTG, Chris Masters, William Regal, and Yoshitatsu getting moved around, this gives them, an opening a couple of doors. I've got my fingers crossed, and now that Regal's over there, and so is Daniel Bryan, they put him on a wrestling show. Now what do we do?
Kill the wabbit.
Now all we need to do is get Cole off of SmackDown, and we can enjoy a Daniel Bryan match.
What's up, Andy?
I was going to say, speaking of the future endeavors, I know going back to that, I wasn't really thinking about this, but someone we may put on Future Endeavor Watch could be JTG. I mean, I haven't seen him for I don't know how long.
Once he's done on NXT, he is fired.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even watch Superstars. I don't know if anybody really watches Superstars anymore. But
not in the Americas.
Yeah, I would say keep him on the Future Endeavor Watch. Maybe Tyler Rex, but unless they can do something with him, he just kind of looks bland.
I get the feeling Tyler Rex will get the two Superstars matches in a 5-month span, then Endeavor on the website.
So we'll see where all that goes. I want to send a special props to the video production team at WWE for putting together within just a few hours a completely revamped intro for SmackDown.
Yes, I noticed that. I actually watched it today, and I was surprised, but it did do a pretty good job. I still say they need to get rid of Do You Know the Enemy? As much as I do like that song, that is not fitting SmackDown as a theme.
I'm kind of used to it. Like I said, like I told a couple of people, it just makes the show feel more like an anime. Especially with the new effects and some of the stuff they did with the guys. Blink and you'll miss it. You'll get a shot of our dear Viper with some serious crazy eyes.
I love that shot. I had a little personal mark out moment at that. It looked awesome.
And I freeze framed it just for the chills of it. And believe it or not, that actually made me stop and look at Randy Orton for longer than 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I have a moment here because I need to bring somebody on board. That would be our high muckamuck, Mr. Carl Schneer.
Hello. Is this thing on?
Hello.
Hello, Mr. High Grand Poo-Law.
Good evening.
How are you all doing tonight?
All right, boss.
Fantastic.
It'd be better if they didn't put me today on.
What's that, you all right?
I say it'd be better if they didn't put the damn stay on the NFL.
Yeah. Let's not get into that. Okay. You all are all here. I have a big, big, big announcement. I've been plugging this all day. Now, this little program of ours has been on the air for now almost 4 years, guys.
Woohoo!
And never before did this show ever have a sponsor.
What? Sponsor?
I want me to play the following promo.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
All
very
right.
Nice.
Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, starting next week on this program, it's not only going to be called just the North America Wrestling Connection, it will be called the North America Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yes, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. And Carl, go ahead.
I was going to say, and no, I'm not going to get into the mascot outfit, Rob.
Oh, come on, somebody's got to be Stomper.
Oh, fine, I'll do it.
Ooh.
Anyway, anybody has any questions, I'll explain the entire details on a YouTube video I'm going to do later on.
All right.
All right, guys, thanks. Yeah, CLW3 Network on YouTube.
Excellent. We'll be watching for it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Carl.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Carl Schneer, our Chief High Muckamuck, who has just done us a huge favor. So with that, I have only one thing to say. Yeah, that. Ta-da! Very much so, very much so. And I'll even say this.
It's a mark out moment! A mark it out, bro!
Well, I know Edgehead's going to be marking out in about 28 and a half seconds because Memphis is about to beat San Antonio. All right.
Okay, now with this settled, we've done enough draft talk. There are rumblings in the Fed of individuals who are considering not re-upping their contracts. No, you stay out of this, Cat. Not you. Okay. Word is going around that CM Punk, potentially Rey Mysterio, and recently brought to my attention Michelle McCool.
Mm-hmm.
If I may, I've heard the rumblings of CM Punk, and I've heard a rumor that they brought Beth Phoenix to Raw because Phoenix is CM Punk's, you know, real life girlfriend, and I heard that they brought her to Raw to possibly sway Punk to stay. That way they have, you know, more time together aside from what, you know, whatever, you know, if she appears on SmackDown or pay-per-views or whatever. At least that way they have the time together. They're traveling together. I've heard that rumor, and I could really believe that rumor that they would bring his girlfriend to Raw so that, you know, he's happier. But then again, it could be just, you know, it could just be the WWE just bringing her for whatever reason. But That's at least I've heard that rumbling going around for since Monday or since Tuesday, excuse me, when they put the supplemental draft.
Well, and I can understand Punk's point. He's been with the company for 5 years now. He's had 3 title runs, but he hasn't really sniffed a belt since mid-2009. He's done quite a bit for the Fed. He also hasn't really had a chance to take a break. Even when he had his arm injury, even when he had his hip injury, he really hasn't had time off. Now, Josh, I know, you know, wrestlers hate to take time off, but if they offered him a contract with 2 months off, do you think he'll take it?
I'm not terribly certain because from what I remember, he's not really viewed as the guy. There's about 7 or 8 guys that are absolutely positively ahead of him. Those guys are pretty much more or less clogging up the main event scene. Right now, Punk is in the Benoit role that Benoit was in before his passing 4 years ago. He is right near the top, but because he doesn't have the something, I'm not sure because he does know how to talk and talk well, that he will never be given a fair shot as a top guy. He will always be the very top of the second string.
Which, I mean,
I was going to say, well, if you haven't had a chance to speak up, what do you think it would take to get them to get Punk to stick around?
I definitely would say probably a little more than 2 months off. Probably maybe 3 or 4 months would be what it would take. And as what was just illustrated, he would need to have a much higher role in the company, that at the moment he is the guy that they can put in the main event if they have to, but they generally don't have him as the initial thought of who could be the star of the show at the moment. So I would definitely say...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I would definitely say more time and an increased role.
Now, the second one that hasn't really gotten a whole bunch of people's attention is Rey Mysterio. Since he's one of their big merchandise movers, I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm kind of torn on this one because Rey needs to take time off because his knees are so screwed up that he's been wearing a heavy knee brace that has legit injured people on top of the Cody Rhodes angle, which is, I think is what inspired the Cody Rhodes angle.
V1, baby.
Well, here's the question. And I'll start with VRM if he's still around. You still here, VRM?
Yeah, I'm gonna bounce out though soon. I'll bounce after this. So, all right.
Okay, just real quick. Mysterio looks like he's got a foot out the door. Should WWE try to put some money in front of him to stick around, or do you think they can pick up the merchandise money by keeping just using Sin Cara?
Right now, they need to probably give him a little bit of money, saying, "Hey, hang around for about 6 months to a year. Let the Sin Cara bandwagon really start cooking on all cylinders before, you know, they say, okay, Ray, go. Just go."
And thanks for jumping all over me.
Sorry.
I have to say, I really think if Ray's knee is as bad off as we think it is, he needs to stop right. He needs to take the break right now. Let that thing heal properly. Because, I mean, were Austin's knee, I know I'm bringing up the A word, Nikki, and I'm sorry, but were Austin's knees ever this bad off as Ray's is right now?
I couldn't tell you, but I know somebody else was complaining about
Ray. Who in the hell do you think you are?
I would also say that if Austin, his moves did not use his knees, so the brace was not as big of an issue with him. I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. So, VRM, it sounded like you were getting ready to tap.
Yes, I am tapping.
All right, I appreciate you coming in.
I get to see a nice knockout victory tomorrow night in that Shields GSP match, or a decent tap out, because that's going to be so huge.
Yeah.
And I will have a full report on that next week.
Cool. And send Josh your pick'ems for the pay-per-view if you're interested in participating.
Right. Good night.
Good night.
Hey,
good night.
Okay, now that I'm in back in my comfortable zone of me and three.
Okay.
I'm gonna go into this last one because it's gonna take us right into Pick'em. So Josh, I hope that you're still conscious.
Yes, I'm still conscious. I don't know how, but I am.
Oh dang.
Excellent.
I mean, that's good.
Okay. There apparently the stipulation for one of the matches at Extreme Rules has been tweaked. As noted by a significant audio edit.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
That they tried to hide with a video edit.
Thank God I'm not the only one who caught that edit.
Well, it's blatant, and especially with somebody, and I'll raise my hand here, as somebody with a television background, it is really hard to match audio when you're doing something like that. So, you know, I think they should have just put that together before they even sent the girls out there. But if Michelle is looking to hang it up, and you know she's been with the company since late 04. Anybody want to call me on this one?
I would say about then. She was in the Diva Search. Was that in the summer or? I would say
did someone wear Hemi one?
Yep.
Yeah. She was in the first Diva Search. Chris and Jimmy won, but they hired Michelle anyway, and she debuted as a personal trainer for RVD and Rey Mysterio. They did it because I've still got the skit somewhere where there's she's got Rob doing some sort of yoga move while they're talking about, you know, while Rey and Rob are talking about tagging together. Rey puts himself in that same move and he says, yeah, okay, this feels pretty good. And Rob looks over and says, dude, you're doing it wrong. Sorry, I'm thoroughly amused by this. But Michelle's put in six and a half quality years with the Fed. Well, probably about four because she disappeared between personal trainer and teacher and then kind of dropped off for a little bit before coming back just to be herself. Now, given her husband, is this the part where she gets to just go home?
Mm-hmm.
I would think so. I think what they might do with it is just they say that she's leaving WWE, and whenever Taker goes back on tour with SmackDown, as he probably will, she'll probably allow to do go backstage and work with everybody backstage. And I mean, they won't make it known that she's, you know, there, but at least she's backstage, you know, touring with them on the road.
That could work. Fourth, do you think this is going to really damage anything with the women's division, or do you think she's just bailing out before karma strikes?
I get a fair feeling that it is her kind of moving out of the way for them to at least build karma up, like you just said. That they don't want to just push the inevitable McCool karma match. I definitely think that she's stepping aside for the short term anyway. So maybe Survivor Series or even whatever December pay-per-view it is.
I'm going to use that as my lead-in. Mr. Henniger, are you ready for our pick-ems?
Aye, aye, Captain.
Excellent. Extreme Rules is this Sunday. There are six official matches and a rumor of a Kofi Kingston-Sheamus street fight, but I can't confirm it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to include that. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 points.
And okay, I can see that.
There's 2 points for the tag match, which I think I'll go ahead and start with because this is the one I have the least interest in. Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole have been at each other's throats for months. And after the disaster that they put on at WrestleMania, maybe we can get something a little bit better. Cole has grabbed his big buddy Swagger. Lawler goes and gets JR. Lawler, JR's not a wrestler.
Yeah, but now there's Cole.
What's that?
I said, yeah, but neither is Cole.
Admitted. So, this little tag match is going to be a country boy whipping match. In other words, a strap match. So, obviously, everybody's going to get whipped at some point, but...
Oh, yeah.
That still means there's going to be a pinfall. So, who wins and who gets pinned? Andy, I'll start with you.
Alrighty. Well, I mean, the win is going to... I think it's going to be Lawler and Ross. I think that's going to be the winning team Cole is going to get pinned. But honestly, it's a toss-up between Jerry and Jim as to who's going to get the pin. But I think I'm going to put my money on JR getting the pin, making it that kind of the feel-good, you know, he, you know, got whipped by Cole, gets the pin on him at the pay-per-view kind of feeling that they may be going for. So
okay, go ahead.
My money is JR for the pin, Cole
okay.
for the Raw.
So Lawler Ross Swindle gets pinned. That's how I see this.
Yes. Okay, fourth?
I'm going to say since Lawler was involved with this whole thing with Cole from the start, he's going to be the one to end it. He's going to be the one to pin Cole.
Josh?
To finally put this entire thing to bed and put a bullet in its head, Lawler Ross wins, Cole gets pinned, Cole gets drafted to the fiery bowels of Eternal Ocean.
No sound effect?
I don't have it for a sound effect, but...
that explosion earlier.
Oh,
Room
I...
101!
I can do that. This way, sir. Sorry, the door got stuck.
All right.
And actually, I'm gonna say definitely JR and Lawler win. Cole is getting pinned. Now all I need is JBL to be the special guest referee so he can just walk up to Cole.
Shut up!
And say shut up. Okay. Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes, all count anywhere. Now, Cody decided to steal the beautiful people gimmick and put a paper bag over Rey's head a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty much going to be the end of the feud. So I'm just looking for a winner. Andy?
Cody Rhodes. I think that they could actually use this false count anywhere as a way to get Rey some time off to help him decide whether or not he wants to actually be off for good or just want to take a break. So Rhodes with the win.
Okay. Fourth?
This is actually tough for me. It feels like Rhodes is probably going to because of the whole thing with Rey, but I definitely think they're going to wait a little while longer until they address that. I think Rey's going to win this match and end the feud here.
Okay. Josh?
Okay, I gotta have one question. When was their first pay-per-view match?
I thought it was WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's WrestleMania, then this is the second match. There's definitely going to be a third match, and it's going to be a rubber match. Mysterio win one.
I think I'm going to put my money on Cody since we've moved Rey away from SmackDown. These two are done. I realize it's only a second match, but I think they're done. Cody wins. Rey takes the time off. Cody gets to continue to build himself as a force on SmackDown.
Okay. We're going to have to step this up a little bit. Okay,
yeah.
I'll do the easy one. The Way Cool breakup match. Loser leaves WWE. I think we all know the answer to this. Am I right?
Yeah.
Layla.
Yep.
Layla wins in a hands down type fashion.
But I could
on that line. Go ahead, Andy.
But I could also see this as still being a very good for a Divas match, being a very good, well fought out match since they both are pretty hard workers. I could see that being a good match at least for Divas to go.
Yep. We'll see what happens.
Holy crap, Jim is taking it cool.
Interesting. Tell Jimmy's a doofus. You can sign my name to that. next on the list, last man standing. Orton versus Punk. Oh, wow, last man standing, that doesn't mean, that means there's no rules. I'm expecting a shit ton of Nexus interference. What do you think, Andy?
Oh, yeah, I can definitely see Nexus interference. Orton's going to be on his own, but either, I feel like they're going to use Orton much like they used Cena on Raw. Orton's going to go super Orton, take all of Nexus out, and somehow lay CM Punk out for the 10 count. Orton with the surprise. Orton with the win.
All right. Josh, you agree?
More or less, it's pretty much going to go down exactly like that. Because I bet you for once, yeah, Orton's going to win, mainly because Mason Rock turned on Punk.
Okay, Ford?
I think that the winds of change are actually going to affect Orton instead. I think Barrett's going to want to try to establish himself as dominant instead of Orton, so I think he's going to help Punk win.
I didn't think of that.
Oh.
This is where our Punk's core beatdown could start. I think those two will end up canceling each other out. Sadly, because of this Punk talk, I think Orton's still going to pull this off. So put me down for Orton.
Okay.
The last two matches. The next one is Alberto Del Rio and Christian in a ladder match. Christian is a spiritual successor, it seems, to Edge in his sudden retirement. I'm shooting for a feel-good moment here and having Christian pull that belt down. What do you think, Andy?
Well, here's my thought. Since they're not having a SmackDown superstar in the WWE Championship match, where they would have had Cena within the match, being a SmackDown, and then the swerve having him back on Raw. Not only just for the feel-good story for Christian winning, but I don't see them having both of the main event titles on Raw. I see Christian winning it, keeping the heavyweight championship on SmackDown, plus getting the feel-good story, you know, by succeeding Edge.
Works for me. Fourth?
Del Rio being on Raw foreshadows that he's going to lose. Christian's winning.
And Josh, I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, Andy stole my thunder.
Aww.
Well, this last one's going to have to be quick, guys, because we only got a couple of minutes.
Yep.
Miz, Cena, and Morrison in a cage. Now, I've got images in my head of Gilmo climbing all over that bloody cage to try to win this match. But I will not be so satisfied. Alas, Miz will retain on the triple threat rule since he is the only heel with two faces in the cage. Josh.
Ding, ding, ding. You've got that one right.
Fourth?
Yeah, I think Killings is costing Morrison his shot, and because of the whole cluster bomb that causes, Miz is going to emerge victorious.
Andy, you've got 20 seconds to explain it.
Miz wins. I see some kind of interference from R-Truth somehow distracting Jomo.
Okay, that
works.
Pick'em.
And that'll do it for us, guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the North American Wrestling Connection. Glad you could join us. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
CLWA3.com is your source for everything CLWA3. You can catch any of our shows on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/CLWA3network. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and our feed on iTunes.